Michael, fascinated by your thoughts of the science of good and evil. Let's talk about good and evil, first of all. We all have our own definitions for what it may be. Let's get yours.
Well, I wrote the book, The Science of Good and Evil, as sort of the sequel to Why People Believe Weird Things, which is about pseudoscience, and then How We Believe was the second book about God and religion. And then, so basically people would ask, well, if you're skeptical of the afterlife, what about God? And if you're skeptical of God, then why be good? What's the origins of morality? So The Science of Good and Evil is really the an attempt to provide a natural explanation for the origins of morality and the sense of good and evil that we have. We all have that sense. We feel guilty when we do something wrong. We feel a sense of pride when we help people and are cooperative and altruistic. Where does that come from? And the standard answer we get is, well, you know, God gave that to us. Well, that may be, but from a scientific point of view, that's not an answer. We have to look for natural causes. So I argue in the book that that we evolved a moral sense, what we call the moral sentiments, the emotions, the feelings we have of guilt and shame or pride and joy of having done the right thing or the wrong thing. Because we are a social primate species who evolved in these small communities of a couple dozen to a couple hundred individuals in which it was necessary to bond together, to cooperate, to exhibit pro-social behavior, as we call it, to be altruistic sometimes. And it's true, we do have a selfish, greedy, nasty side to us. Clearly, we're xenophobic, we're tribal. But that also has an evolutionary explanation, the evil side. That is, I think my theory is that we evolved within groups, within our own group, to be pro-social, cooperative, nice, helpful, altruistic, whatever you want to call it. But between groups, we're pretty nasty, pretty xenophobic, we're pretty tribal. Anybody that's different from us, and it's easy to define people differently by almost any criteria, that's the dark side of humanity. So what's involved with morality is making a choice to do the right thing, to do the moral thing, even when you don't want to, even when it's somebody not in your group. I actually think, you know, when it says in the Bible about treat your
do unto others
as you would have them do unto you, and these moral rules are there for a reason. The reason being that the natural inclination is to be nasty to other people. Who are the others? These are your non-tribal members, people from the other side of the river. I mean, the Old Testament is chock-a-block full of nasty stories of what people do to each other, endorsed by God even.
I think humans generally are evil. Don't you?
I think, well, here's what I think. That
I used to think we were all good, but
we're both good and evil. We tend to be good with our own people, our own tribe, and so on. We tend to be nasty with those that are different from us. And this is, so what the long history of civilization has been, at least in the last 500 years, has been this march toward more incorporating more and more people into our in-group. It used to be, okay, we can't let blacks in the group, we can't let women in the group, we can't let minorities in the group, we can't, the whole movement of human rights is to say, no, everybody's in the group. Everybody's a member of the tribe. It's difficult to sell people on that because the natural inclination is to say, no, not everybody can be in the tribe. Only the special chosen few can be in the tribe. And that's our natural inclination. That's what evolution gave us. So we have to fight that inclination.
Sounds like the Illuminati all over again.
Well, the Illuminati is just a tribe, right? I mean,
it's a very elite one.
It's one of the things that psychologists discovered in the 60s when they tried to answer the question, why the Nazis? I mean, not just why the Nazis, why Germans, advanced, cultured, educated, the people that gave us Goethe and so forth and Beethoven, I mean, why them? And it turns out the answer is why not them? Anybody can be trained to do this. You know, suicide terrorists, how do you get people to fly planes into buildings? It's easy. It's actually not hard at all to do. You have to set up certain social conditions and raise them a certain way and indoctrinate them a certain way. Anybody can be shaped that way.
Well, I mean, look at Iraq, for example. Most of the tragedy that's occurring there now has been because of suicide bombers. Can you imagine the amount of people who are prepared to take their lives when sadly enough, in Iraq. And I'm not talking about the death of our American troops, Tom. I'm talking about Iraqi citizens. The world will never remember who they were.
Uh-huh.
And yet these people are convinced to strap bombs to themselves, go into, you know, little areas, blow themselves up, taking out people. And in a matter of weeks or months, the world, of course, doesn't remember, and I'm sure the Iraqis would. But, I mean, they're gone. What's the purpose? What does it serve, Michael?
Yeah, well, nothing. I mean, it's evil. But, you know, from their perspective, of course, they're freedom fighters or whatever.
Yeah, they think that this horror, if it continues, will get us to leave and everything will be okay.
You get 72 virgins on the other side. I mean, it is the dark side of religion. I mean, religion has many good sides. I'm not, you know, I don't believe I'm an atheist, but I'm not a nasty atheist. I don't just blanketly say all religion is bad. Plenty of things religion does good, but this is one of the dark sides of religion.
Are all skeptics atheists?
No. About 25 to 30% from the various studies we've done over the last 15 years believe in some form of God. 25 to 30%, so one quarter to a third or so.
Well, how could they? Now, this is interesting. How can they be skeptics about most issues but not God?
They don't think about it. I don't think they apply skepticism to everything. And let's face it, there are certain questions science can't answer, at least at the moment, which is some of these ultimate questions, you know, where the universe come from.
True.
You know, religion can't answer it, science can't, nobody can answer it. They're unanswerable questions, and then you're free at that point to make the leap of faith if you want, I guess, if it works for you. And, you know, that's not my thing, but, you know, I understand why other people do make that choice, and our thing is that as long as you keep it private, I don't really care what you believe. It's the attempt to legislate people's religious and moral beliefs and force them upon me. That's where it gets kind of dicey.